Next up, we go to Max in Junction, Texas. Hey, Max, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. Great show, George and Major Ed Daines. I had a question that whether Ed believed in reincarnation, and then what would the speed, the solar wind, be with the kill shot? Thank you.
The speed, it's not like the traveling speed of light. It takes a couple days for that to get here. Go ahead, Ed.
Yeah. On any coronal mass ejection, and it's not doesn't necessarily have to be a coronal mass ejection, because there are other event, there are other phenomena on the sun that can produce the same type of effects. The X-rays that are produced, they're at Earth at the speed of light, so you're talking 8 minutes, and those are the ones that are going to take down a lot of satellites. If it's very powerful X-ray flares, even though modern satellites are hardened, Faraday type of hardened, they're still going to go out. And anybody in space stations is great danger too. Even though there's cubby holes they can crawl into, but the higher energy mass, the protons from the sun, the mass itself, That can take anywhere from 36 to 48 hours, or sometimes longer. It depends on the escape velocity, whether or not there are back-to-back eruptions, you know, pushing against each other. The physics are complex. But that mass, you have time. That's why I say, if you see an next X10 flare, think about going to your sanctuary if you already divined that fast, because I think that's the beginning of the real sequence right there. But the mass itself, if this passing space body, whatever it is, does the same thing that Comet Sliding Spring did to the planet Mars in 2014, there goes our magnetosphere. The shields are down, and even a small X-class flare, or a relatively small X-class flare, is going to do the dams to Earth's power grids. If the magnetosphere goes down, and it's already deteriorating just upon natural cycles. So, and the other thing is that, no, I don't believe in reincarnation. I know what it is based upon, we studied it, and it's a very interesting thing. I believe in life after death, but I don't believe in reincarnation.
This is our final segment, as well as we're talking about surviving the kill shot. Ed, for people who find that sanctuary, how many of them, what percent would survive if they're in the right spot, if they can find where they have to go?
All of them.
Well,
yeah,
we
made a point there, and these green zones, if they're in those green zones in a personal sanctuary, survival is a non-problem. Even if they have no house, no tent, anything, if they just get there, that, but for them, unconscious is saying, go here. And there, it's 100% solid. Now, quality of life can be improved by reconning. In fact, I told you that 80% of these 700 people or 600 people in over 7 years been my clients, have already relocated. And these places are nice places. I mean, they're really nice, nice people and all that. You would expect that. But the survival will be 100% for those type of people. And when you get into what on the map you see as orange zones, those are tolerable. The quality of life goes down. But the dark to bright red zones are, survival is problematic.
Okay.
The gray areas on the map that people get, those are, that's unknown of, that we don't know, because I haven't had clients in those areas end up in those areas. But there's a lot of factors involved there. For instance, China. Let's go back to Australia. I told you there's only one band in Australia of the zone that has green long-term survival areas in it. Well, there's some pretty practical reasons why that's the case. Water is the most important thing, especially when you have high-energy protons coming down to the deck and heating, adiabatically heating the Earth's atmosphere. Water dries up. Glaciers disappear. So water is the key thing. The next thing is population densities. If you have a great area, but the population is high. Let's say Singapore, for instance, let's say Singapore is survivable, but there's not enough resources present for the autochthons, the indigenes, to survive because there's too many people for too few resources. So all these permutations and factors come into play when your unconscious says, go to this particular place.
All right, Ed, let's wrap things up with final calls here. We'll go to Lake Tahoe, California. David's with us. Hey, David, go ahead.
Morning, George.
Morning.
Honored to talk to you, Major Ed Dames. I'm a big fan, and I wanted to, two quick things you could do, probably handle very quickly.
Okay.
First, I'm in the Lake Tahoe area. Is that I kind of cashed in my chips and made that my semi-retirement area.
Your sanctuary. Area? What do you think,
my
Ed?
Sanctuary.
Yeah. Let me interrupt you right there before the second part. That's a good area. The only thing it's a good area. The only thing you have to worry about are other people, because people in that area there, if folks get desperate, they will pull out their guns, and you'll have some. People don't work together there. They're of a different mentality. It's a beautiful, beautiful area, but you don't have people who cooperate like farmers do, helping each other. So that's the only thing you have to be careful for. And if you have to be on watch 24/7 to protect your land and your family and all that, there's no time to educate your children. There's no time to grow crops to eat. There's no time for yourself to forage or fish, because you're always have to be watchful. And that's not the case in places like where George Noory should end up when things hit the fan.
Okay, my other quick thing was, you see either of the front runners having a surprisingly strange interruption, like maybe one of them get taken out or something like that.
I don't want to talk about that.
Okay, I can understand that. I don't like talking about that either, but...
No, I don't want to talk about that.
Let's go to Ed in Philadelphia. David, thanks, by the way. Ed in Philadelphia, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing,
yeah. I wanted to ask Major Dames if he had remote the eminent U.S. presidential election, if Donald Trump had a chance, or will he be pushed out? Also, is the kill shot, is it planet Nibiru or the star Nibiru, which I believe is mentioned in the Bible or Bible code? Thanks, Major Dames. I'll take the question off the air.
I haven't looked at the next presidential election. I haven't been interested, because regardless of who wins, we all keep losing as you know, citizens of this country. It doesn't matter who wins. They're all owned lock, stock, and barrel, probably with the exception to a certain degree of Trump. But I have not looked at who wins, and I told you what my gut feeling is. There isn't going to be an election, but that's just a feeling. And in terms of the Nibiru Planet X, we don't know what that large passing body is. And we can explore the concept of a Nibiru, but not Planet X, because Planet X is a neologism. It's a creation, just like Killshot. You can't use remote viewing to target Killshot or Planet X. Nibiru is a different story, because it's been in the dictionary, the lexicon, the thesaurus of the matrix, the universal mind, for quite a while. So there's something there. But we would have to explore it as what we call a topical search, because we don't even know what the question is. So we go in with six remote viewing probes on the topic of Nibiru, just like we did with the Unabomber for the FBI. It's just a topic. And see if we're dealing with anything that's consistent. If it's consistent and it deals with a large planetary body, then we can look at it some more. But that's how we'd have to research it. All I know is this is a big thing. I don't know if it's a comet, a planetoid, or whatever.
But you're convinced the kill shot itself is something from the sun?
Oh, absolutely, George. Now, don't forget that the core of the Earth creates the magnetic field for our planet. And there's a linkage with the sun right there. So it's not... But the heating effects and the damage to the to power grids, and not all power grids worldwide are going down, not all satellites, communication satellites, or GPS systems are going down. GPS systems will be greatly affected, so forget navigation for long periods of time. But not everything goes down at once, which is, if it did, there wouldn't be any personal sanctuary locations.
Let us now go to Bill in North Dakota to get things going here. Hi, Bill.
George. Major, I got a question. You coincide greatly with Our Lady of the Roses, Mary Help of Mothers. It's a Fatima continued. So I was wondering what you thought about some of this stuff. And you can get to...
About Fatima
continued. The prediction here is she predicts this Sierra Veronica saw a massive comet break apart and a huge piece strike the sun. And then it's got some other things there. SMWA.org, StMichaelRoadPosit.org, they have a pamphlet on the warning, and it says there will be a tremendous explosion and the sky will roll back like a scroll, like a fiery scroll, you know? So I was just wondering what you thought about that. And
I don't know how to correlate with the Fatima prediction, but we do know that years ago when we were researching this event that we now call the kill shot, we know that there are many warring parties, particularly in the Middle East, that look up in the sky because the atmospheric events in the sky appear to be unprecedented, at least in recorded history. Maybe the Chinese, in terms of the dragon and things like that, have something similar. But the effects in the sky seem to be extremely frightening. And even the warring parties say, hey, I'm going home. And they actually depart, and the war stops because these people, their priorities change because of things that are happening in the sky.
I thought for that meteorite that blew up over Russia last year and a half ago, that might have been something. But 1,400 people got injured in that one, Ed.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know.
Yeah, I'll send you the info on that. John in Springfield, Missouri. Hi, John. You're on with Major Ed Dames.
Well, hello, Major. My name is John. I came across a document a few months ago regarding an interesting, I'm not really sure what it is. They don't really know what it is. I'm in the military, and I came across this document, as I said, of a very large object moving through space towards Earth, but they can't get a fix on it. The weird thing about it is it's changing vectors, it's changing speed, it is changing every little aspect on a daily basis. And they can't get a pinpoint on when it's going to arrive or what it is, for that matter.
Is the document
what are your
classified?
Thoughts on that?
Is the document classified, John?
Parts of it were, but the parts that I was able to relay to you just now were not.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it, but if I had any hook on it, I could use that as an anchor for a remote view, but I don't.
You have had problems depicting time in some of these remote viewing sessions.
I'll see.
Why is time so difficult?
Because the way that we intellectualize time is not the way time really exists in time-space, in dimensionally. We have this linear concept of time, just like our Western languages have. We linearize everything. For instance, speech, the concatenation of subject, verb, object, and that's how we transmit verbal ideas one to another. And but even the concept of numbers is different in the Matrix. There is, yeah, 1 and 9 and 8. They exist in the universal mind, but they're not concatenated. 1 is not less than 8, and 9 is not more than 8. They're just in different places, and we discover them, and then we arrange them in some fashion, in some system and database, but it's not the way time really exists in terms of the Matrix. Events exist outside of time, and there's a lot that we have to learn about ourselves and other dimensions, and I'll talk about other dimensions on some other show. They're very interesting, but time is not the way we perceive it.
Nathan in Colorado is now with us. Hi, Nathan. Go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me better now?
Oh, yeah. Sure thing.
Okay, yeah, I was just calling about the western slopes of Colorado as far as the kill shot and the martial law and things like that.
As a sanctuary?
Yeah. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that are pretty well informed, and it's a lot of farmers and ranchers as far as where I live, so it's pretty tight.
Well, the western side of Colorado would put you in the Rockies.
I can answer that question. It's not optimal. It's okay, but it's not optimal because the population densities are too thin. You have to be, there's not enough people. You have to be in a community where you have a wide skill set, We've got doctors and dentists and mechanics and people who can trade skills. And the population density there is very thin. So only for that reason, it's not optimal.
How long will this tragedy occur? Some say, William Forstin, who's been one of our guests, he's written several books about, X-flares and EMP attacks. 90% of Americans, he predicts, and they predict, would be dead within a year, Ed, if this thing is prolonged. Any idea how long it could last?
Well, I don't know how long, but I have to agree with, you say he was a guest?
Yeah. He's been a guest.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons. It's such a sad thing. I don't think 90%, but a lot of people, just a lot of people. And the key again is starvation, not enough fresh water, starvation, water, and the Mad Max.
Oh yeah, everything goes. Everything. You can't even pump gasoline.
Can't pump gasoline. Can't flush a toilet. Can't use an ATM machine.
You won't get running water.
That's right.
Nothing.
Yeah.
James,
no, but you have to realize that that's if the power grid goes down, and the parts of our own country that are most exposed, and parts of North America that are most exposed, are the northern climes and Canada in terms of power grids going down. Many places, in the southern part of the U.S. will never experience a grid. I don't want to say never, but it will be less likely that they'll experience power grids going down. However, they will experience no communication and martial law.
Yeah, that's true. Ed, keep in touch. Your website's got your events, which are in Vegas, sold out, Seattle, Orlando, and Austin, May 21st, 28th, and July 2nd. Ed, take care of yourself. Major Ed Dames, of course, one of the nation's, one of the world's foremost remote viewers. And this kill shot thing bothers me, of course, but you just got to be ready. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.